Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Wrestle me, Pete.
It's about to get spooky. I don't know.
I hope so.
Well, it's been spooky because Sting just fucked his career up. Agreeing to something he shouldn't have.
Sting's a crow. Crows hang around graveyards and Sting's career is in the ground.
Mountain Dew. There's nothing for Mountain Dew.
Kickstart.
It's a different kind of Mountain Dew. Gives you a kickstart. Probably got Tori in it.
Three guys in an American basement. American basements. They are fucking
man
caves. I was looking at this night. Again, my big thing about like Britain being terrible. Well, why don't you leave?
Because
I would fucking love to. Coronavirus fucking thing.
Brexit it up.
All of the shit. But I was watching that and I was thinking, it did remind me, like, why are our houses so expensive and we don't have like basements?
Space,
and then look at that and they're like, look at these three losers
in their basement. I'd love a basement
in their fucking football pitch sized basement with all this sort of like vintage retro. Furniture that look really nice and cool to the touch.
Yeah.
And they drink that and then they start going, whoa, and the whole thing goes totally fucking, oh, I'm shedding my inhibitions and having convulsions. I really, really wanted them just to stop fucking, just really joyless fucking, like Mountain Dew.
Mechanical.
It's going to absolutely fucking rinse your brain.
Eye rolling, just stupid, stupid fuck.
Froth everywhere from your mouth.
No, love
fuck
it.
Him, fuck him, fuck
Mountain
him.
Joe.
I would very much like.
That would be the whole thing. And scene. fuck him, Mountain Joe.
Guys,
amazing, Joe.
Amazing work. Oh my God, you didn't real put Mountain Dew in the. It's actual Mountain Dew kickstart. What a terrible error.
Different kind.
Paige versus. Yes. Paige and AJ Lee, rather, versus the Bella Twins. They are all still divas at this point.
Okay.
But this is beginning to be the end of divas.
Mm.
It's going to be, superstars is what it becomes. Paige. Little Paige, is it the first time I think you've seen her on a wrestling?
First time I've seen her in. I was up until about halfway through the film. Is it Wrestling with My Family?
Yeah.
Fighting with My Family. I thought that she was playing her own role. I thought she was playing herself.
You believe not very Florence Pugh?
I did.
To be WWE superstar Paige, the glampire.
I'd not seen that much of Paige, Sheen. I didn't really understand.
I would have thought you'd seen practically all of her.
Oh, dear. I mean, it's very low resolution. look, if you are going to repeat and copy MP3 files, I think you should, MP4 files, sorry, I think you should at least be cognizant of the fact that if you reproduce it and screenshot it and record it, you will be losing definition. Consider using an AirDrop rather than WhatsApp. All right, guys?
From Norwich, England. Paige has obviously explained to them it's not Norwich.
Mm.
And they are going, I remember it's not Norwich. But I don't know what she said. I'm just going to go, from Norwich, England. It surprisingly works. Here comes Little Paige. Now, Little Paige, she is 22 when
Holy
this takes place.
Holy moly.
She has already been wrestling for 11 years by this point.
Bloody hell.
And she is the first WrestleMania competitor in history to be born in the 90s.
Ah,
little
cool.
Trivia. She is, for her age, she is remarkably underwhelmed fizzed, yeah. by being in front of 76,000 people at a major WrestleMania. Mm. She, you know, all these guys are professionals and things, but it is at 22 coming out and just sort of going, oh, another day at the office. You yeah. know,
most, it's most just kind amazing. Of, most, you know, Premier League footballers won't have seen that.
No,
people,
not at know. All. You know, she comes from a wrestling family, obviously, as you will have discovered when she was Florence Pugh. She's the daughter of the British wrestlers. I was going to say independent wrestlers, but pretty much all British wrestlers, certainly from the generation before, all independent. Ricky Knight and Sweet Soraya.
She was from Game of Thrones. She acted in Game of Thrones as well.
Did she?
Yeah, she did. I mean like as in the actor.
Which actor?
The actor who plays Sweet Soraya.
What
is from Game
of
Thrones.
Oh, yes, Lena Headey.
Yes.
Yes, and Nick Frost plays her father, Ricky yes. Knight. They're Norwich-based. They opened up their own federation. They were both, both, you know, decent wrestlers at a time when wrestling, I mean, you'd be lucky if you made £8 at anything. They seem to be sort of, they are proper old-fashioned journeyman wrestlers. They had a sort of a slightly sort of, I suppose, you know, from the outside, it looks like a sort of scrappy career. Mm. Because there are no opportunities to work there, here, there and everywhere. They did have a pub for a brief period, I think in 2008 in Norwich, called the Romany Rye. But it was closed after 5 months following a police raid. I tried to find some information about that. There is none. If you do type in the family, you know, there are a lot of news stories about incidents that they've been involved in. Certainly, Ricky Knight had spent a number of years in prison due to offences that mainly centred around sort of violent behaviour. Bevis's mother, I say Bevis, that's the family's real name. There's a lot of different names. She is Paige. But she's also Soraya.
Right.
He is Ricky Knight, but he's also Roy Bevis. You know, that thing of wrestling having lots and lots of different names, it's really distilled in this family. It's so confusing. So Paige's mother once wrestled when she was 7 months pregnant with Paige. And for a while, Jake the Snake Roberts lived with the family in Norwich. It's just strange. When she was a child, Paige had wanted to be a zoologist. She went to the same school as Jake Humphrey, Beth Orton and Tim Westwood. She has nothing in common with any of those people.
Do you know much about Jake Humphreys?
Not really, no.
Give him a go. He's worth a watch.
I get him confused with the one who doesn't believe in dinosaurs, who's on BBC Breakfast, Dan.
Oh, does he not believe in dinosaurs?
No, he won't broadcast on Sundays, obviously, because he is a Christian.
Oh, I see.
I believe there was a rumour, which I have certainly mentioned on previous podcasts, like the 1-1 show, where he, I believe he will not have any questions about evolution. So anytime they do anything about dinosaurs, he cannot do that on BBC Breakfast. I believe that to be an urban legend.
Would a woman get away with that kind of behaviour? Would a woman?
So Paige made her debut at the age of 13 in 2005. I think she'd been trained pretty much from birth. She made her debut for the family's promotion. And by the time she was 14, she was travelling alone across Europe to perform at all different independent wrestling federations. She signed her contract with WWE in 2011. In 2012, Channel 4 produced a documentary about her and her family, which was called The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family. And it was about her getting the WWE contract and her brother not getting one.
Right.
And it was about the sort of difficulty he had, really, watching his sister live out his dream. That documentary then did become that 2019 feature film, which was
interesting.
Florence Pugh, and directed by Stephen Merchant. Stephen Merchant has an unusual number of slight sort of wrestling connections, because he was also in The Tooth Fairy with Dwayne Johnson. So it annoys me, you see. I won an award beating Stephen Merchant back in 1998.
What newspaper was it, Evening Standard?
Daily Telegraph Open Mic Award.
Sorry,
and
yes.
I believe he came third. And I look back on that and I just think, even then, if I'd have known that he'd had more wrestling thing, I'd have been genuinely more upset than I was about him doing The Office.
Well, look, maybe one day the US may take your celebrated mockumentary about Hooray for Holloway, where you feature as a man rolling around Holloway. He's like, what was it, Brian?
Brian John Jid.
Brian John Jid.
Honestly, if you'd like to see that.
I would like to see that online. I can't find it anywhere.
No, but if you want to see the actual series, Channel 4 made it, but they retitled it Statlet's Flats.
It's a little bit. Yeah, that's right.
The producer, Seb Barwell, a guy I used to work with, so I don't know if there's any connection in the fact that he had obviously seen that. No, I'm joking, of course. It was a... I love Statler's Flats. Have you seen it? Have
it
you
is
seen
very good. It's
fucking
good.
Brilliant. Yeah. Really very good. So Paige then, she has a main roster. She has a really successful run in NXT. They always painted her like she was the anti-diva and everything because she didn't have a tan and she was a bit gothy.
Yeah.
But she was also incredibly beautiful. Mm. And there was this funny thing of sort of just going, she's not like the other ones. She is completely different.
Interesting. She is completely interesting.
She has dark hair. Amazing.
But imagine, like, I bet she must be pleased because, like, you do all your working out and stuff, you do your training and stuff, make sure you ring ready. And then for all everybody else, you've got to go and get your fucking nails done and all your hair
can
done.
You imagine?
And you've got to sit on a fucking tanning bed or you've got to sunbathe all fucking day. None of that for her. Nope. She can just go about her business. She's a spooky one. She can get away with it. As long as she doesn't stay in the bath with a black hair dye, I don't care. Do what she wants.
She was very, very good at this period. Charismatic in a way that, because I think a lot of the other female performers were very similar, oddly. And she just seemed young, fresh, and totally sort of, I don't know. I mean, she just was a little bit different. You know,
they should have punked up Paige a little bit because she just looked like she looks a bit too childish. You know, when they were sort of going for that kind of like Joker's girlfriend kind of thing that you said about before.
Yeah. She debuted on the main roster in WWE.
AJ Lee, not Paige. Sorry, she is Paige.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right there. And I think, you know, there's a funny thing here where you can see that AJ Lee and Paige are two very much... WWE have pegged them as being strange.
Yes.
And they aren't strange. It's just that they don't look like Estonian prostitutes. That's the weird thing. The Paige goes onto the main roster of WWE in April 2014, and in her debut match in WWE as opposed to NXT, she won the Divas Championship at 21 years old, and that made her the youngest Divas Champion in history. AJ Lee is our partner here. AJ Lee's real name is AJ Mendez. She took the Lee in her ring name from Wendy Lee, who is a voice actress in her favourite anime, Cowboy Bebop.
Oh.
Nerd band.
She's different. She's a nerd.
She has the numerical date of her first Divas Championship win tattooed in tally marks on the back of her neck as well. Likes wrestling. Nerd band.
Likes it too much. Likes the thing she likes.
She was mocked internally by a lot of the commentators and things for having that on the back of her neck. They thought she was a fucking mark. And she wins this match against
the
Bellas.
Why not have an enlarged heart instead? Like all of us. Like all those legends.
Why, or just a toe tag. AJ Lee wins with the Octopus Hold submission, which she has named the Black Widow. That's after the Marvel Comics character. No, babe.
Fucking Black Widow.
Nikki and Brie Bella here. The Bellas, this is the year where they suddenly look very different. Mm. They've always looked almost identical. And then suddenly you go, I can really tell them apart. I've never been able to do that before. And Nikki made the decision, maybe in the same way that Randy Orton did. Mm. She might have watched Brock Lesnar and gone, that is good. And she became insanely hard-hitting. And in this match, she's like thumping everyone with fucking forearms. She looks absolutely like she's taking no shit. And it's a really sort of, this is a period for me that I really enjoyed the matches of Nikki Bella, something I never thought I'd ever say. But she just starts sort of going, do you know what? I'm going to be the best wrestler I can be. And that is just constantly going around really doing stiff moves like she's in fucking New Japan. It's just astonishing. Someone during the middle of this match holds up a little sign as well and it says puppies. And it's not, it doesn't fill the sign.
Right.
And it's a bit sort of lost on the sign. It just says puppies. And it really, no one else is holding signs up. And it's just that it hangs there like a fucking fart. Mm. A real sort of like, you know, that time has gone. Big shit. AJ Lee, like Daniel Bryan, will go on to have a pretty much her final match on the Raw following this WrestleMania. She had a medical afterwards, and she had a lot of cervical spine damage, and she sort of felt that because she'd done everything she thought she was going to do in the business, she decided to call it a day. WWE at this point are also still dealing with all the fallout from CM Punk leaving, and she felt very caught between the two. She said it was like being a child of divorce. Yeah. So off she went. But I think we talked last time on the last WrestleMania is about how sort of underrated she is and how important she seems, you know, 5 years down the line. Mm. But this will be her last WrestleMania appearance I'm sure she comes back one day for a Hall of Fame.
Well, I guess Paige is injured as well. So she doesn't have a long career, I would presume, after breaking through.
No. She gets another couple of WrestleManias, I believe. But it coincides for her with sort of some slightly sort of, you know, tumultuous stuff going on outside continually.
Well, she went out of Mr. Problemo.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Problemo. Antonio Del Rio.
Antonio Del Rio.
Yeah. Sorry, Alberto Del Rio. I said the wrong word and coughed. I mean, if you were going to say...
Check your cervical spine.
Come to my seminar about how to do a successful podcast. Cervical. Bleh. Wish her well, Antonia.
Good night.
The Hall of Fame 2015. Yes. Here we go.
Oh, steady. Again, you jumped ahead.
My advert.
Before then...
Advert?
We've got the advert for... Well, no, actually, I mean, Jerry Lawler's half finished his Mountain Dew, which is enjoyable. The supercomputer, they're in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
You might, if you had clicked that little 10 second thing twice, you would have missed it. Yeah. But we're in Silicon Valley, or in where the home of computers. So we've used the WWE supercomputer to figure out who's going to win this match. And they just put facts. It was like the Starcade facts wall.
Oh, with Lesnar and Reigns.
Yeah, with Lesnar and Reigns.
Yeah.
And they just put it up, and it's just like, it's the raw supercomputer again. It's the raw computer.
How much did you pay for this supercomputer?
Because it's just...
We paid $4.8 million.
It's Siri.
I don't think it's... I think they may have seen you coming.
You just typed up like a couple of moves, a couple of heights, a couple of weights.
Yeah. What
Americans
shows.
Are obsessed with weight.
Aren't they?
They're obsessed. They are
arm horrendous. Really big on reach.
Weird. Very weird.
There is that thing about, again, you're going, you know, we are coming from Silicon Valley. It's all about tech. It's all about this. And when they say we've done a supercomputer and what it is a JPEG, you just sort of go, you've overplayed your hand.
Show me the supercomputer.
Yeah, they like
Show
computers.
Show me where it is.
You know what these nerds would like? A supercomputer.
Supercomputer.
You know, fucking hell. Hall of Fame. It's my favourite part of every year now, it really is. Here come the Bushwhackers. They famously did a very, very long speech.
Right.
And I believe it was after that one that WWE said, okay, basically, if you go over 10 minutes, we're cutting you off. It's a long, long speech. Butch is one of the Bushwhackers. They brought him in. He was on crutches. And the WWE have a very, very sort of unspoken policy
right.
that if you look too damaged by a business, you can't be in the Hall of Fame. They would rather you died and they'll do you posthumously.
Yeah.
But when Butch is there, you know, trying to do the Bushwhacker strut with these very, very like
medical
crutches.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why wouldn't you have got backstage at WrestleMania and gone, do you know what, Butch? Give us
those.
We're going to do the Bushwhackers camouflage on them.
We're going to put Terminator thing. Pretend they're T-1000's arms.
Butch, I'm going to stuff these full of sardines for your old gimmick. You fucking what, mate?
What? And it's Butch and who's the other one again?
Luke.
So Luke Bushwhacker has decided to dye his hair the blackest.
He has found some boot polish, yes.
He's dyed his goatee moustache and he's dyed his hair the blackest dye I have ever seen. One has and one has not. Don't just have a text. Get on the WhatsApp. Are you going to dye your hair blackest?
He never in his career had black hair. He never had it in a career. And so just one night.
I know you've got a new girlfriend. But you don't have to do it.
I bet as well. I bet he went round the whole thing, just kind of comes going, I know they said black tie. Well, I thought it said black hive, like the top of my head. And everyone just going, who are you? There's a hobo in here. But poor old fucking bitch. They did come out, and there is that thing. They just look like a fucking post-apocalyptic Chuckle Brothers, absolutely crawling from the wreckage. Just, oh.
They turn up later in these scarecrow suits. shuffling around.
Yeah, you get Larry Zbysko, who I think we talked about on a Patreon recently about his great career. He's inducted by Bruno Sammartino. he was a good talker. And actually, what you realise watching a lot of the Hall of Fames is that some wrestlers can talk, but I'd say 99% of wrestlers don't know how to talk entertainingly. And so people like you'd expect would be quite good at the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't know, someone like Lita, you'd sort of think she was good. She was appalling. And people like Mr. T, you go, he's been around showbiz. He's absolutely a fucking awful. And the Bushwhackers, I mean, no one thought they were going to be good, but they were worse than you'd have imagined. But Larry Zbysko, I seem to remember, he did a speech that was actually bang on, that you were sort of like, oh, that's erudite and sort of interesting and quite nicely done. You get Alundra Blaze, also known as Medusa, who was the key performer in their mid-90s revival of women's wrestling, which didn't last very long. She famously went to WCW during the Monday Night Wars, and nobody had asked her to return her WWE title that she was the holder of at that point. Right, yeah. They'd just basically forgotten all about it. So she turned up in WCW and she got up the bin and she dropped the belt into the bin. And that was at the time seen as being, you know, absolutely a fucking unbelievable shot being fired.
I don't understand why they... I don't know why they can get away with it. I don't understand why they thought they could get away with it.
No.
Without a massive IP suit of some description.
That would always be something for the boys. But the reality, of course, was the excitement that it generated would translate into viewers. And that was, you know, why the Monday Night War was so good for both companies, is that you were going to see what the others would do in retaliation.
Yeah.
It'd be a really exciting time. You get Tatsumi Fujinami, also known as the Dragon, who was, Ric Flair says, the greatest Japanese wrestler of all time. I mean, you know.
He says a lot of stuff, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, he's don't.
Everyone can't.
Ric Flair is not reliable. Ric Flair is also not somebody who's going to go, I've really thought about this long and hard. He's just like, oh, yeah, he was good. He's the best of all time.
Do you remember the magic shoot? Yeah.
You get Rikishi. I remember. Rikishi comes in. I think, you know, that he's one of the sort of more recent stars.
Yeah.
And here he is with his children, who are Jay and What's It Uso. Can't remember the other one's name. It's been a long record. And then you get the Warrior Award, which is the first year of the Warrior Award, because it's the first year after he's dead.
I was surprisingly taken aback by this. Conor the Crusher Michalek.
Yes.
I was like, oh, fuck.
Ultimate Warrior
shouldn't be anywhere near this, the Warrior, but fuck.
No, and Ultimate Warrior had actually suggested, when he went back to the Hall of Fame, he'd sort of basically gone in like nothing had ever happened. Like, he'd been there all the time, and he was like, do you know what you should have in the Hall of Fame? You should have an award that's for the people backstage. And he was like, you know, I did a lot of work with this woman who was, you know, involved in the Hall of Fame thing. You know, I think, you know, you should be saying, look at the people who you don't see, the people who do all the Make-A-Wish stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the woman who takes care of that, she should be getting. And you should have basically a backstage staff award. When he died, they transferred this into being an inspirational award. And ironically, I mean, or not ironically, one of the people at Warrior would have wanted to have won that backstage award was the woman who would win it in a few years' time, who was in charge of all those Make-A-Wishes.
Right.
And what they did here was they decided to give it to a kid that had obviously, you know, had a big impact on a lot of people in WWE. Mm. And of course, whose wider story would enable them to set up a charity for families in similar positions. So this was a young lad called Conor Michalek, and he had been incredibly unwell. Shamefully, I haven't written down what he had, but it was a form of cancer. And he had there was a viral campaign where he'd done a little video wanting to meet his hero Daniel Bryan in October 2012, and it went very, very big. And within, I think, 48 hours, Vince McMahon stated that Conor would get to meet Daniel Bryan as soon as possible. And so Conor met Daniel Bryan in December 2012 at a live show, and again in October 2013. And I think Daniel Bryan really kept in contact with him. When they found out last year at WrestleMania 30 that Conor Michalek didn't have long to live, they invited him to attend WrestleMania 30. Before the Raw event the week before, they had him perform his own ring entrance with Daniel Bryan. He was then allowed to score a clean pinfall victory over Triple H
while WWE performers cheered him on. 25 minutes the match was. Typical Triple H rules.
Hammer in bits.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. There were commentators very much on Triple H's side. It was disgusting. But he was there at WrestleMania 30 then to see Daniel Bryan winning the championship in the main event. That was on April the 6th, 2014, and he died on the 25th of April, 2014. He was 8 years old. Mm. You know, unimaginable.
Yeah.
They seem to do a really good thing for that little lad, WWE. A couple of months after he passed, Paul Levesque, who is Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon, they founded a charity called Connor's Cure in his memory. It's a non-profit that raises money for paediatric cancer research. And by March 2016, which was just under 2 years later, it had raised over $1 million and had helped more than 100 families. So, I mean, there is absolutely nothing you can say about that, but they really did themselves proud with the way they treated that little lad.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that, you know, if you watch anything about Daniel Bryan when he talks about WrestleMania 30, the fact that Conor McHalek was there was one of the most important things about it for him.
Mm.
You know, very, very sweet sort of, you know.
Smashing that.
Yeah, you know, nice thing to have done. And then we get a Hall of Fame Arnold Schwarzenegger comes out. Now, huge star, Arnie, huge star. He made one appearance in the WWE before this.
It was at a meeting to talk about Terminator Genisys.
Yeah. he was on a SmackDown in 1999.
Right.
He was plugging his movie End of Days. He became friends, obviously, with The Rock and Stone Cold. They're all big action stars, aren't they? And they put him at the commentator's table while he was on that SmackDown. It's described as sparse commentary that he gave in a match between...
What is going on? So we'll have an Evian.
I just need to speak to my people because I'm not happy about this
car,
at all.
Where is my car?
The match involved Triple H, Test, and Steve Austin.
Wow.
Strange sort of, you know, what's the one wrestling match that Arnold Schwarzenegger sat through live? And it's Triple H, Test, and Steve Austin.
Smashing.
Oddly, Schwarzenegger does have a lot of connections with wrestlers. He was a very close friend of Andre the Giant.
Mm.
They worked together on a couple of films, I think. Conan, yeah, that's right. And there are some good photos of Schwarzenegger and Andre, which are real sweet. In the match on SmackDown, Schwarzenegger did get involved. He tossed a steel chair to Stone Cold Steve Austin. And afterwards, they presented him with his own WWF title, which he sort of paraded around the ring. Very much, you can see there where they're going, we want this guy on board.
Yeah.
I think as well, because he was a politician. And they're always like, you can never have too many politicians who owe you a favour, WWE. And yeah, one appearance, he's in the Hall of Fame. I suppose he does do that, you know, time to play the game. But he's often talked about how much, you know, how friendly he is with the McMahons. So, I mean, you can't say that Schwarzenegger doesn't belong to be in the Hall of Fame.
He's a part of, I think, anyone from that... That's part of anyone's like kind of 90s upbringing.
He was muscles, he was bodybuilding, he was action, he was fighting. You know, that's you know, he's paving away, isn't he?
When they put the Robinson's Black Currants in, it's really confusing. Push pops.
That'd be absolutely great to just say one year. We're gonna put the Robinsons Black Currants in. I love that. They are
the Raggy Dolls.
And finally, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah,
he goes in. His brother Leaping Lanny Poffo does the honors. There was definitely there had been times where they didn't look like Savage was going in because his father Angelo Poffo, who I believe did survive him, not 100% sure, but Lanny would say. Randy had always said he would never go into the Hall of Fame
for his dad
unless he was inducted with his father and with Leaping Lanny Poffo. There was a very sense of hard to prove. And so I know there was definitely some back and forth about, you know, how can we do this? And Lanny was very much, Randy would not have done this under any
circumstances. It's a rewriting of the New Testament. It's a New Testament fifth draft, isn't it? It's like you're getting those kind of weird Bible belt cuts.
I imagine if you just said to Randy, Randy Savage, would you want to go in the Hall of Fame? He would say, not without my father. And you'd go, have anything else to add to that? And he'd go, no. It was just
Slim Jims.
I mean, who's my brother needs to be in with? Who's like that? Unless you're like in the Steiner brothers.
Yeah, I don't, exactly, you know. Yeah.
It just, I
but
mean,
like,
I don't have a brother. What? Isn't the genius your brother? That is.
But like, and what I like about this kind of like the speech that he did, like a small clip of the speech, Lanny Poffo's voice is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And no one talks about it because his brother's is way more stupid.
Very true.
Absolute voice, bad vocal chum.
Yes.
Throws you off the scent.
Lanny Poffo is also married and has a child. That. It doesn't surprise me.
Right.
I go, oh. You'll be very excited to hear this, Pete.
Right.
Before we get on to... Well, we just mentioned Kevin Nash's last one. He comes out. Yeah. He gets... Worth saying...
He gets me pregnant. As soon as that tall drink of water speaks, I am pregnant.
He comes out. It's worth saying... They decided that he was the bigger star on that night than Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that is only because he is Triple H's mate.
Yeah,
absolutely mad. I mean, it is oddly, I mean, there is a smaller reception in the place for Schwarzenegger when he comes out. Mm. It's not the, you know, he's such a big star, you'd think people would really cheer him. But then I remembered, oh no, he was a Californian governor, wasn't he? Mm. So I think, and it was taking place in like, you know, around Silicon Valley, you've probably got a lot of people who are a bit like, yeah, I remember when he upped my damn leaf tax, whatever it'll be. So I went onto eBay and I got something I'm so delighted by.
Right.
This is the 1988 copy of Leaping Lanny's Wrestling with Rhyme.
Oh, no. Now, oh, no.
Hard book to find.
Mm.
I mean...
It shouldn't be.
It does have a couple of autographs in. And what you can see is you've got Lanny Poffo on the top and his brother, Macho Man Randy Savage, who is supporting his brother.
Yeah.
Now, Savage would not want to be like involved with this book.
No.
But he's obviously gone out and done a signing to help his brother out. And that makes me go... Maybe Savage did say that. Let me make it clear. That, I paid 25 quid.
Right.
The book is impossible to find. It's also signed. That is 10 times what I paid, Pete. That's a delicious, real.
I would say that the Lanny Poffo looks a little bit like the Randy Savage looks like an italicised Lanny Poffo. Like, they look quite similar.
They would have gone to the same school. They would have been given handwriting things. So let's not destroy...
Nobody on eBay is going to read this, Mark. When you finally sell this.
An apology to Robert Penn Warren. Robert Penn Warren was an American literary critic who was active mainly during the 50s and 60s of the 20th century. For 80 million wrestling fans, I am the Poet Laureate, and for that title I apologize, for Robert Warren is the man who represents the USA, and I am quite embarrassed by the lies.
Where did that come from? That was the foreword.
Superstar Billy Graham.
Oh, good. We'll just think about him.
No mercy in the desert in the Arizona sun. You either move, adapt, or burn away. But look at Billy Graham. His eyes are scorched with fire and the ravages of every single ray.
It's just about his friend having a bit of sunburn.
At WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
Hello, world, and welcome to the famous Silver Dome. It's a record crowd both live and on TV. We're all a part of history on Sunday afternoon because we're all a part of WrestleMania 3.
That's got an ISBN number. That's unbelievable, that. That looks like it's self-published.
Now, this is from the section which is called Private Poems.
Oh, hello.
Barth Beach Health Spa. I used to train at Barth Beach Health Spa for a couple hundred reasons, but there's only room right now for just a few. It's Sue and Lou and Mary Ellen, John and Mike and Ralph and Brian, Frank and Donna, Dave and Tony, Gina too.
So this is the friends at the gym.
Friends
at the gym.
And finally, let me see. There's his one about the policeman as well.
I love the policeman one. I know. Very enjoyable.
There's some questionable language in here.
Oh. Yeah,
he's always against it.
Cancel Leap and Lanny Poffo.
Let's just find it. There we are. This is called More Good Neighbours. It follows a poem which is about Lanny's neighbours in Downers Grove, Illinois, who are called Tom and Sandy. This is about more good neighbours. Steve and Andy Giordano used to be our next door neighbours when we lived on Staten Island, USA. Although we didn't stay too long, we still have happy memories, and I like to think of them this way.
It's fucking dog shit.
The best thing about that is some of the serious poems, they've just kept on scattering drawings of wrestlers. So there's one about the birth of his daughter, and the picture opposite is Junkyard Dog climbing into the ring.
Oh, that is wonderful. Good girl. It says good girl.
Good girl.
That's the title of the bit, the poem.
Who would be the person, of course, that you'd have on the frontispiece? They've drawn all the wrestlers.
Yeah.
It's Lanny Poffo's book. Who would be the person who you had on your frontispiece that says Wrestling and Rhyme by Lanny Poffo?
Lanny Poffo.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan. Always detailed, isn't it?
Very detailed.
He's got some sixth form students to draw them.
Yeah, it is. It is hard work. I say hard work. It's very, very easy. But yeah. It was a gimmick. And he did publish this and everything. But, he might think of himself as being a poet. He is a published poet. Are you a published poet?
No, I'm not.
Have you been published by the publishing house Lilo?
What's on the top left-hand corner? What's that say?
Flexi book. You might not have seen this before.
It's a flexi book.
This is a book. It's almost got like cover made of paper.
Oh, my God.
Almost a back made of paper.
Like, is that, it's halfway house between a hardback and a softback, as they call them.
What's a softback?
I don't know.
Pete, this is a flexi book. Are you telling me that there's already a soft backing book? Lanny has put over $250,000 US dollars into flexi booking.
He could have invested in Gold's Gym with the Hulkster.
It is a book that I absolutely have enjoyed going through. It's the stuff that is moronic is so much more funny. But the arrogance of just making poems about your neighbours. I wonder if his neighbours even have a copy of it.
Has he really got a frisbee on the front? Is that like a
plate? He used to write his poems out.
Oh,
and then
yes,
he'd stick them onto frisbees and then throw them out into the crowd.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have seen it on TV. You certainly wouldn't have seen it on a WrestleMania.
Right. Why is... No, I've got no idea why there's a picture of George the Animal Steel and Dr. Ruth.
I mean, they don't look massively dissimilar. God.
It ends... I'll do the George Steel one. Whose appetite for turnbuckles is making all that mess. The man who has to sweep the ring will give you just one guess. They call George Steel the Animal, but take a closer look. The cover doesn't indicate the beauty in this book. His passion for Elizabeth's is in vain, to say the least, but is always protect his brother. But the beauty has compassion for this broken-hearted beast. The reaction of the macho man has really been uncouth. We need Joyce Brothers and Dear Abby and maybe Dr. Ruth.
It's not always bad. Dr.
Ruth like a TV.
Dr. Ruth was a sex therapist.
Right.
You need to have sex, she'd say.
You need to have sex.
I'll be back to have sex with you.
Right. He's got Kamala with a voodoo mask.
What's the Kamala one?
It's the main event on NBC. The wrestling world is watching as Kamala bellies forth upon the scene. But if I emerge victorious, I could be in next month's centerfold. In National Geographic magazine.
Okay, so he would have had a match with Kamala.
Right, okay.
And that's what he would have done.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Lanny Poffo is you just get the impression that he was actually, you know, intelligent. Everything ends with a slight sort of gag. You know, he's working towards that. And he slightly overuses flowery language, which is very annoying.
Yeah.
But you do get the impression that everybody would have, he would have been sitting there and just going, by any chance, do any of you fine gentlemen have a pen? And people would just be going, well, the fuck are you talking about? Why, good sir, I have to finish my poem from this. You know, Jesus.
A mention of Lord Alfred in the... I'm enjoying it. I
should remind you, we're in the middle of a fucking podcast. You're just sitting there.
He changes fonts halfway through. he puts it in bold for some reason.
I've changed my font, etc.
Sorry, everyone.
Match number
in,
five.
Beguiling verse.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Football's back and we are here to laugh about it.
Hellenius in the League Cup, he was trying to like defend with his hands and he yanked his shorts down.
Straight off, see you later.
Yeah. But Hellenius got the shot away, which I thought was very professional.
Whether it's players losing their pants or managers losing their shit.
And I thought about that when you could just hear Morty shouting at Pablo Fornal. And then he just loses all sense of himself at the end when Fornal blazes it over. And he's like, oh!
Yeah. That was the noise. Oh.
The Football Rambler here every day with new episodes covering the lighter side of football.
I walked past a trophy shop at the weekend that said we're only allowing one person in at a time.
Nobody wants any fucking trophies, mate.
Don't worry about it. There's nothing happening.
Also,
no one's achieving.
Null and void. Your five-a-side league is null and void. Piss off.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He went through and all you hear is,
shoot, Pablo, shoot.
finish, oh, finish. Yeah. Pablo.
This was a Stakhanov production.
John Cena versus the US champion Rusev.
Mm.
It's Russia versus America for the US championship as John Cena lives out his depraved, false valor US soldier fantasy against a Bulgarian who's forced to pretend he's Russian.
America is a cancer. If you had a soul, God would look down on it and spit.
Strong.
I mean, strong, Rusev. Strong.
What do you think of that, Mr. Never Give Up? He calls him Mr. Never Give Up.
Mr. Cool Imagine. Man, awesome kickflip.
You can say what you like about me, but you better watch your mouth when you start talking about the United States of America.
Yeah.
Okay, Cena. Yeah. Okay. You motherfucker dog. How you like that? Why are you crying? I say everything I like. I'm slightly Mexican now.
Did he say watch your ass rather than watch your back? You might say
watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth.
Watch your dirty mouth.
Maybe I was expecting the word ass.
That whole idea that you can say what you like to me, but you start talking about America and I'm going to, fuck off.
And you run down the United States.
Fuck
off. Piss off, Cena.
You are a grade A, weapons grade fucking cunt. There you go. Stick that in your pipe. WrestleMania.
Oh, wow.
I'd be excited. Well, I just want to see one promo where someone just absolutely is. They'd say, just do the one. Let's do the one promo where you just get to do it and no one will forget about it. And just having that thing of being Natalia and going, Sasha Banks, when we have our match, I'm going to come out there and I swear to God, I'm going to fucking rip your nose off, you fucking cunt. See you in the ring, fucking cunt. Like, constantly repeating it. You do it once and everyone will be like, well, she's the best of all time.
Yeah. But they do it as like, Rusev is, but bearing in mind, the Russian national anthem is one of the best national anthems
amazing
the world has got.
Amazing.
It is fucking brilliant. No. It is fucking great.
Yeah.
And they play it, and it's like, well, I'm all in.
The entrance. Before you've even given him a fucking tank, right, and guns firing, when Lana comes down holding the belt and she's got those Russian soldiers marching behind her, and they've sort of gone for exactly the sort of thing that Russian marching soldiers would wear, almost like a sort of British naval look.
Yeah.
And they're carrying that huge Russian flag, and you just go... I did look at it and I sort of had to catch myself. I was like, fuck, I mean, the Russians are so good at that sort of thing. I'm like, oh no, they aren't Russians.
The Bulgarian actors.
Yeah. But oh my God, it was, I mean, look, there was a point there where that entrance, and he comes out in the tank, where I was just like, pro wrestling is the greatest. You just wouldn't get this anything else. And just...
get that in 2020, I know that much.
It's with like the, darts. With the, people are like, no, that's true.
With the political situation.
People, you'd start that match, you're constantly trying to get John Cena to have a little bit of tea with you. Just have a little bit. Have a drink. People talk about darts and the entrances and stuff and how fun it is, but I was watching that and I was thinking there is no other spectacle on earth where a man would make that sort of entrance and it would be the right thing to do. I proper loved it. And then what they do is they bring up John Cena's entrance video. And John Cena's entrance video, it starts off being the history of America, basically.
A lot of inventions that didn't invent.
The military are the heroes of the American people, says George Bush. And I was, again, if you're a fan favourite, you don't really want to be going, see, George Bush is on my side. he likes me. They then use a still of post-recovery footage from 9/11 of people digging through the rubble.
Mm.
And then there's a soldier, a dead soldier, coming out in a coffin with a flag draped over it. And I thought to myself, I think that is a wrong fucking bum note for a bit of fun that we're going to be having with a Russian being bad.
Well, especially, like, not being at war for, like, the Cold War, it wasn't really a, you know.
Yeah.
We haven't been at a kind of, like...
This is a very 80s angle. and it's actually, there's something a little bit... Russia was the right one to choose with hindsight.
Yeah.
But there is something disrespectful. And I don't mean that in a sort of, I'm offended by it. They used fucking footage of 9/11.
Of dead people.
Of 9/11 recovery.
People,
and then when Cena comes out, they fucking boo him. If you use 9/11 footage and footage of dead soldiers and you come out and people still go, you're a twat in America, you don't bother using that fucking footage. Don't bother using it. I was actually amazed at that. What a fucking bum note.
I was amazed they used the Obama speech in it. Like, they used a bit of Obama in there.
Did they?
Yeah, they used a bit of Obama in that little clip. I can't remember what speech it was, but I was like, oh, that's very...
I bet someone got sacked for the Obama thing and didn't get sacked for the coffin draped with a fucking flag selling a funny little bit of matches in wrestling. I mean, Rusev is very, very good. Earlier this year, he was one of the people let go during the pandemic.
Right.
By WWE, not because of his ability, not really because of his performance. It was just really, I think, down to the fact he'd asked for a bit of money, more money on his contract. They'd said no, and there was a bit of an impasse. And I think they wanted to send a message to everybody else on the roster that if you play a bit of hardball, they can get rid of you at this stage.
Right.
But he's absolutely, oddly, in this America versus Russia story they're telling, Rusev is very much the American dream. He was born in Bulgaria. He came to the USA in the mid-2000s solely because he wanted to be a professional wrestler. He was trained by Gangrel and Rikishi. And,
I love these were little kind of training. Kind of
they had the Knox Pro Wrestling Academy.
Right.
And that was in, I think, California. And he quickly found himself, did some independence, went to NXT, became the NXT champion. And he was one of the first NXT stars who had been seen on NXT TV, who they then brought to the WWE. And he just played this really, really well. He seemed like an unstoppable monster and a brute. And he's good. The reality is this is still a match I had no interest in. Once the entrances were over, I actually could not watch it.
Yeah.
I just found it, you know... we've mentioned this before, but as an American company, WWE tend to sort of think, well, the natural thing will be, anyway, because he's an American, you're going to want him to win. And I didn't. And I just, it doesn't mean anything to me. And watching the two of them go through this sort of, you know, match was boring. It was very, very boring indeed. I didn't really remember a thing about it.
No, I had sort of weird memories of actually watching this on a hooky stream.
A
Struble link back in the day. So it's kind of, I sort of remember this and I remember what comes after was a little kind of like...
What a long way you've come from watching on hooky streams to now piggybacking on someone else's network subscription.
Yes.
And then comes...
Did I kick you out yesterday, by the way, when we were both watching?
Do you know what we were doing? We were watching it almost exactly at the same time.
Right.
So when I clicked onto it, I was like, hang on. That's the end of the Hall
of
Fame.
Sorry, Mark.
No. I was like, I only got to the start of the Hall of Fame. And I rewound it. And I got to it, and then it suddenly jumped forward again. And I was like, this is glitching. I was saying to Liz, this is glitching.
Mark. Just give me a text.
And then I guessed, how did we get to exactly the same point at the same time
very
when we started watching?
Yeah, very interesting.
Synchronizing.
Yeah.
Like women. The Authority come out.
If you're not familiar with the... it doesn't even bear repeating.
Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, and they come out to announce the attendance. Triple H, 100%. fucking not selling the match he's had with Sting. He looks like he's woken up from a refreshing sleep at a Hilton.
Yeah.
And he's come straight to work. And I looked at that and I did slightly sort of think, you know, if he ever talks about fucking killing the business, I look at that and I just go, you ruined that. You destroyed wrestling for me by turning up to do your bit with Rock and Ronda Rousey by not looking like you were injured. He has a great line, Triple H. He sort of says, you know, that they start sort of mocking the crowd about how great they are. It's all about them. And Triple H says, it doesn't just feel like I beat Sting, you know, it just felt, you know, I feel like I beat all 79,976 of you. And I thought that was a really good little line. I enjoyed that. Arrogant. And then out comes The Rock.
Yeah. Rock, 20 minutes of The Rock entering. He's never had has he ever got into a ring quicker than 5 minutes?
I tell you what, Pete, he's never got into a ring slower than this. This was an unbelievable amount of hanging about.
Mm.
It's this went on so long, this segment, they had to cut 10 minutes off one of the next two matches.
That's annoying.
Which were Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. They didn't want to cut that because they felt that Undertaker would take it personally.
Yeah.
So they had to cut 10 minutes off the main event because Rock is just striding back and forth. And when they're doing the stuff in the ring, Rock is waiting 30 seconds, a minute, just because he's enjoying getting all of the noise from the crowd. It's a real pain, this.
And he's done this so many times.
So many times. You know, we forget because we watch WrestleMania. Rock has appeared at the last five WrestleManias. Yeah. If you haven't seen him in a year and he turns up, it's special.
Right.
We haven't seen him since the last time we watched a WrestleMania. So it does sort of like just seem like, oh, of course he's here. He's always fucking here. Yeah. But he does take his time. I once saw the comedian Phil Kay, brilliant 90s comic, who I think later became a warm-up man, but he never had the mainstream success he deserved.
Yeah.
And I saw him do a benefit once where he said, my mother once said to me, you know, you can't leave a stage while there's laughter, so I won't leave until there's absolutely no laughter at all. And then he'd wait and people would laugh. And I saw him once, he must have been 25 minutes. It must have been 25 minutes of him going and there'd be one laugh and he'd come back out. Then there'd be a big laugh and he'd go, ugh. And it was just, it was an amazing thing of going, I'll do 20, how long am I on for today? Half an hour. Brilliant. Okay.
I've got five minutes of material.
We're going to be fine. And he just did that and he played it absolutely perfectly. But I thought of that when I saw Rock doing it, because I had that thing of going, even though you're in the crowd, you'd be going, oh, that's great. Look at him just waiting and the crowd are going
getting
again.
Getting hotter and hotter.
But at the same time, like when I saw Phil Kay, I was going, yeah, this is funny, but yeah, I want to see the next one. I want to go for a wee. You know, and I was watching that and you're just going, it's a bit indulgent, Rock. This is a bit indulgent. There is absolutely no one at all who could do this nowadays. There is no one you could bring out to just do a little talking section that would get anything like this response, other
Leaping
than your Rocks.
Lanny Poffo.
At least he wouldn't sit there in silence. He'd fill that silence. Stories about his neighbours or how pets are good for you. This makes a bit more sense if you remember that Triple H said that they were building for Rock and Triple H at the next WrestleMania. Yeah. So they are sort of putting them... Not that you need to have a year's build-up to that match.
No.
You just chuck it together. It's easy. And Stephanie is very, very good in this. You know, people are sick of seeing her on TV. She's nasal. She whines. It's all about the McMahons. But in this bit, when you see it just in that snapshot of a year, she's great. You know, she's nasal, annoying, horrible. All the lines she says are good. They're well delivered. And she gives Rock a slap. And she says to Rock, you can't slap a woman. Worth saying, Stephanie has been rock bottom more than anyone in fucking like female history. You know, he'd never had a problem before.
Rushev just pushed a woman off a ring.
Yes, that's Rushev. True. Off Rock goes, leaving the ring the traditional way, which is by going right round it before going down the ramp. And
it's the shortest point between two. Shortest line between two points, isn't it?
And he just walks over to Ronda Rousey. Now, they did. I really like the fact they set it up that she was there as a celebrity.
Yeah.
Because if they hadn't done that, everyone had been like, Ronda Rousey's at ringside. There must be an angle. You slightly knew there'd be an angle anyway, but because they'd identified her on the screen, you sort of just go, oh, it's a celebrity thing.
Yeah.
But when he walks over, the crowd were already chanting, Ronda, Ronda. You see Shayna Baszler here. She would later go on to have a main roster career in WWE. She was NXT Women's Champion. Good performer. This is, I think, her first WWE performance.
Right.
And the best thing about it is it looks like she hasn't been told what's going to happen. Because when The Rock comes over, she cannot stop. She looks as happy as you've ever seen her. And she's got, when he sort of like puts his hand out to Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler is just covering her mouth like, I can't believe this is happening. Just really, I hope she didn't know. And out comes Ronda Rousey. Are you aware of...
I'm aware of her later work in the WWE more than I did of her MMA career. I sort of had a little Google, but she does Happy really good. She does Serious really good.
She does. She's
and she is frightening.
She's beyond frightening. She's absolutely chilling. She was the daughter. Her mother was a very celebrated judoka, you know, a practitioner of judo. Her mum was the first American to win a world judo championship. That was in 1984, and Ronda Rousey began judo training when she was 11. She said, when I was in school, martial arts made you a dork, and I became self-conscious that I was too masculine. I was a 16-year-old girl with ringworm and cauliflower ears. People made fun of my arms and called me Miss Man. It wasn't until I got older I realised these people are idiots. I'm fabulous. Lovely. Oh, yes. Miss Man.
Isn't that her name in WWE? Like The Man, isn't that the thing?
That's Becky Lynch.
Is that Becky Lynch? Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
She would be Rowdy Ronda Rousey, and that was a nickname that she took from Roddy Piper. Mm. And she would later, when she would be fighting MMA, she didn't want to use the Rowdy Ronda Rousey because she thought he might have a problem with it. Mm. But she was also trained in judo by former wrestler Gene LaBelle. The LaBelle lock is a move that Daniel Bryan uses, which is named after him. He had trained Rousey and he knew Piper. Mm. And so he got the two to meet and he gave her his blessing.
Ah, lush.
He would later also give her his leather jacket that said Rowdy on the back, which she wore for a number of wrestling matches. But Rousey went on to become the first American woman to win an Olympic medal in judo. Mm. She got a bronze at the 2008 Summer Olympics. She had an astonishing career, a world-level career, international career, in a sport that no one follows. I briefly did judo. My uncle was a black belt. And I went to a couple of judo lessons in Harrow Leisure Centre in the 80s. And all it was men who looked like Gene Hunt from Life on Mars who took out their frustrations for an hour on an 8-year-old boy by just simply pushing him to the floor and saying, you know, you've got to be faster than that, son. Mm. It was just mental.
Yeah.
Things that used to happen in like the early 80s.
I remember going to one karate lesson and we were kicking each other. Now, I know you've got to give the kids something to, but we literally, all we did was stand in a line, jump in the air and kick each other. I'm fairly certain that is not number one lesson. I'm sure you karate fans out there will probably put me right, but you do not start leaping in the air and kicking people. He was probably just a wrong one.
I remember very, very clearly that this judo lesson, there were two kids. I think there was another kid who was about 2 years older than me. And I thought, well, obviously I'm going to be paired up with him and that's going to be hard work. And actually what happened was both of us were paired up with men in their 40s who would just spend their time
chilling,
flipping us over their hips.
Absolutely chilling.
Fucking terrible.
Jeez.
I mean, the other thing is my mum and dad paid for that. They'd have given money just to have some men just push me about. Absolutely mental.
Kinky.
She retired in 21 after the Olympics and began pursuing a career in mixed martial arts. Not a lot of money in judo, Pete.
No, I
some of the
not,
poorest
no.
people you'll meet are judokas.
Well,
some
they always wearing the same clothes, didn't they? Same old pajamas, isn't it?
Yeah, dressing gown. Yeah. She made her professional MMA debut in March 2011. She beat a woman called Ediana Gomez with an armbar in 25 seconds.
Jesus
her
Christ.
Second fight, she took on kickboxing champion Charmaine Tweet. That was in June. She won in the first round with an armbar in 49 seconds.
Don't give her your arms.
She went to Strikeforce, which was the sort of secondary MMA organization to UFC. She won four matches. She won all of them by armbar in the very first round. She won the Strikeforce belt. And she was in Strikeforce because she was following the footsteps of Gina Carano, who was an MMA fighter who was very, very beautiful and really changed people's opinions as to the ability of female MMA fighters. UFC had always said they would never, ever have female UFC fighters.
Right.
They said it was there was something of the sideshow about the whole thing. Well, in November 2012, Ronda Rousey became the first person to be signed by the UFC, and they immediately made her the women's bantamweight champion. She went on to have a three-year reign. She beat pretty much everyone in the first round via armbar. A couple of them went to the second and third rounds via armbar. She would win. And in her seventh defence, she was knocked out by former boxer Holly Holm. That was a devastating loss for her. Mm. She said she'd never really encountered a loss in her entire life.
Didn't get the armbar on.
Well, she didn't. She got knocked, sparked the fuck out right. by a high kick. Mm. And she went so badly into trouble. Dealing with the ramifications of,
really right
yeah she said she entertained suicidal thoughts and really struggled. That is the nature, I suppose, of being that lone elite athlete that no one else can really commiserate in your loss. You are the person who has to, quite literally in this case, take it on the chin. This is the point where she then does this WrestleMania. The Rock had to ask Dana White from the UFC specifically if he would allow her to come and do it.
Right.
Dana White was always very, very adamant that even though he was a huge fan of Vince McMahon, he didn't want any of the fighters to have anything to do with WWE, because it made people question the legitimacy of UFC if they'd seen them in WWE. She comes in to do this bit, and I mean, as a debut, I don't think that anyone has done as incredible a job. Like you say, she does that happy and friendly so well. And then when she turns, it's absolutely
Snooki-esque. That's how good she was.
Yeah, so, oh, it's great. She does a hip toss on Triple H, and it's the first, I think the first move you've seen in the entire WrestleMania where you go, that looked real. It is absolutely lightning and just brilliant. And then she gets Stephanie and just holds her in a simple armbar, just dominates her completely. It was magic. Every word she says is fantastic. And then Rock, he very quickly shouts out, that's a WrestleMania moment.
The Rock.
Ronda Rousey. He says, WrestleMania. Moment. Like that. Big Ed.
Yeah.
Don't start self-reviewing, Rocky. Very bad. Naughty old Rock.
Naughty old Rock. Never, probably the only lady's ever talked to.
Yeah. Rock, can you let go of my arm now? Sorry, I didn't realise I was holding it. Are you visibly erect?
Rock!
Give me the big spoon!
Rock, you've never had sex!
Give me the big UFC spoon!
You're so excitable.
Bonk! Naughty Rock.
Rocky Rock.
Hey, and then we get Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, two spooky boys.
Spooky.
Oh, Walking Dead was still going, wasn't it?
It wasn't it.
Walking Dead was still going.
Wasn't it? They have Johnny Cash's When the Man Comes Around, a little video about Undertaker. Always works really well, that. It's got that sense of being the last, gunslinger in the Wild West. And also, I mean, that was very much recorded at the end of Johnny Cash's career. So it does sort of suit the general feel of this.
Probably will be replaced for another song in about a year's time when the use... the 5-year use package that they bought up for the rights of the song have went. So yeah, they probably already edited it.
I should imagine it will be something more contemporary, like Billie Eilish's "You Should See Me in a Crown." It'll be something like that. There is something here about how Undertaker has been going so long, in that Bray Wyatt is the son of IRS,
yes,
and Undertaker wrestled IRS at a pay-per-view 20 years beforehand, the 1995 Royal Rumble. So when you're sort of going, I have a pay-per-view matches like I'm doing with you against your dad, when both of you are sort of at the zenith of your singles careers, that does seem like a... that must make you feel fucking old.
Yeah,
I'm fighting their kids now.
Yeah, definitely.
Heartbreaking. A lovely entrance for a while, I thought, with the scarecrows him bringing
spooky,
them alive.
Spooky scarecrows.
I preferred it when he was like, I'm a frightening backwoods... supernatural oogie boogie, rather than I am from what hell is he?
I don't know.
I'm a fiend
because he's got the rubber Slipknot mask.
Well,
on
he's
now,
also he's Saw movies and Jigsaw and stuff like that, isn't
it? Okay, but do you want to fuck about for a bit?
Yeah.
Do you want to fuck about for a bit? I'm really crazy.
I'll
drink moonshine, but then I'll...
I like that,
What, you like
you
the
come a long way off the path, huh? No, don't be scared. We're going to have some
then
fun.
In the
I prefer that to, oh, look on the melee bag. whatever it is,
Well, it can't do the weird... It can't do the African beast kind of, voodoo shit anymore, can it? So that's the... That's, you've got
do you know what? I was watching the Royal Rumble that built up to this WrestleMania, and there's a guest appearance from the Boogeyman who comes out to face Bray Wyatt.
Right.
And it is, the crowd are like, this is perfection. This is absolutely wonderful. Good to see Boogeyman.
Is he the one who ate worms?
Yes. It was a good... I like, again, putting the spookies together.
Putting the spookies together.
Got to put the spookies together.
A friend calls erection spookies.
Rock could take part in the spookies. No, Rock.
Rock, naughty Rock.
Wyatt actually he works really hard on this. It's, the match itself is fine. Mm. I think it's because certainly after last year, you're like, oh, this is the first of Undertaker's bad matches.
Mm.
And this isn't bad. Wyatt works really well with him. He's really fast and really crisp. He had injured his ankle in the rehearsal for this match really badly, and he only just took off the brace for the match. So he was in clearly a lot of pain.
Some strapping.
Yeah, he was, good boy to work so hard. And Taker, he has not wrestled since his loss to Brock Lesnar.
Right.
So there is that sense of this is a special occasion. And he really, he performs well. His chest looks like a fucking bird bath now. Like a human bird bath. Really sunken and strange. And his face is going long. And
yeah.
He's lost that. He looks like Nicholas Lyndhurst.
He's like he's been sucked into heaven. And his insides have gone, so that's why his booby muscles have separated.
Yeah.
And gone to different directions.
Yeah. There's a little bit where Wyatt does the upside down crab walk.
Yes, nice. Oh, it was good. Yeah. Look, I would. That's a real spooky.
Yeah.
It's a real
good,
cool spooky.
Why is it so spooky? Just because a man is walking
upside down.
Because
he expects his mouth to be in the wrong place.
It's just upside down. It's weird though. If you're just upside down, you're like, that's not scary. But if you're like, no, but my arms are touching the floor, you're like, that is scary.
Upside down. Upside down spooky.
Undertaker then sits up, bolt upright. And that's when Jerry Lawler just suddenly goes, this is a WrestleMania moment. And it's like clearly
stop
waiting
saying
for it.
This.
There's going to be
hashtag
a bit where
my Dubai. Yeah. Fuck off.
They should be organic. And it ends with just one of the best tombstones Undertaker's ever done. Maybe it's because, Bray Wyatt's a little bit heavier and Undertaker's a bit older, but it just looks like he absolutely tombstones him for real. And it's beautiful. Wyatt spoke about facing the Undertaker when he was out of character. He spoke to the Daily Mirror, and it is sort of charming. It doesn't make you like
charming
these
that the
guys.
Daily Mirror's got a wrestling correspondent.
Yeah, one of the two papers along with the Star. Yeah. He said, man, I tell you what, watching him walking down that aisle, that ramp, coming to the ring at WrestleMania was one of the most breathtaking moments I ever experienced. It felt like if you'd travelled back in time to the Old West and you were about to square off in a gunfight with the baddest gunslinger in town. I just think the aura he brings, man, it's never duplicated. I've been in there with some real studs like The Rock, who has that kind of aura. John Cena has his own aura. But The Undertaker, there's no duplicating that. It's just a feeling that he gives off. It's just wow. It's just real, man. And getting ready to square off with him, watching him walk down, I've never felt so alive.
Mm.
I couldn't wait for that bell to ring. Man, what a feeling.
Yeah, oh, cracking
that's
that.
Sweet. There is something about, that where I immediately put on my literary critic head and go, I mean, the absolutely beautiful irony that Bray Wyatt is only brought to life by the appearance of the dead man. I mean, you simply couldn't write this. They did write it. It's quite basic. also nice to see in the middle of that match the sign, Barnett and Bristol Town, lol, are going up.
Yeah. There's a few. Now, where was that guy? There was a guy who, I've emailed it to myself. At one point, you see during this match a email? No, I'm looking on my emails for it. You get a little sign that says, I've lost. Oh, Rabizad.
Rabizad.
That's Rabizad. Somebody with their Twitter handle. Rabizad. And I looked at Rabizad. He's still a wrestling fan.
Oh, nice.
Time is finally here. Made onto a game show on Netflix. Watch The Floor is Lava, streaming now. Hashtag Floor is Lava. Hashtag Floor is Lava. Netflix. So you can check out Rabizad. What he's up to now. He's not at the wrestling anymore.
I checked on one of the Twitter things that came up as well. Something like at MFX podcast.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I was like, well, there's no way that's going.
Okay.
Clicked onto it. It's a Scott podcast, people talking about wrestling.
Lovely.
Still going. They managed to get
stuff.
On.
That's WrestleMania podcast mode.
I have a feeling the WrestleMania crowd is
mainly British.
Between 60 and 80% British. I think that might even be under representation.
Yeah.
The wild thing is, I think if I'd have watched this match before I'd seen The Last Ride, I'd have been like, that was a perfectly good Undertaker match.
Mm.
I do watch it now and I just sort of go, oh, the rot's setting in. And I'm not sure there's any need to. It was much better than I remembered, certainly. Right, look, hey, we're at the main event.
Yeah, let's get there.
I mean, this is a triumph for everyone listening.
It really is.
We've done it in three.
We've done a threeer. We've not done a threeer for such a long time.
No, it's a disaster.
We're so much closer to the end. We'll be back in 3 weeks, Mark. Fucking idiot. Before we get there, Corey Graves. Who's Corey Graves?
Corey Graves is a commentator,
right.
Former wrestler, but he had to give up due to concussions.
Oh.
So he is... I don't know why, but the phrase, like, kind of... Corey Graves is a shitbag comes to my mind. I genuinely can't think why, but that's the first thing I always think of.
He looks like he used to be in, like, Lit or something like that, like the band Lit.
Yeah, he has a slight sort of, if someone said he is the younger brother of CM Punk, you'd sort of go, yeah, I can see that, you know.
Or his dad, like a kind of IRS kind of dad kind of character to him.
Why has Corey Graves suddenly popped into your head?
Because before the Undertaker Bryant match, there's like that weird kind of round table with Booker T and Corey Graves and a couple of other people that I've never seen
before. So Corey Graves had made his name sort of doing NXT commentary. He was an NXT wrestler who'd suffered concussions. And they basically said to him, your career is over. He was just on the rise.
Right.
I think, you know, without those concussions, he probably would have been a pretty decent level WWE performer. But it wasn't to be. Instead, he became a commentator. Which he is doing, you know, all the main shows. Everyone's annoying. We're annoying.
Possibly annoying.
It's just, sometimes he's annoying. So very annoying.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Universal title. Roman Reigns, we'll get to him, but Brock Lesnar at this point has never been more unknowable and frightening. He is, since the Undertaker thing where he's won that, he has almost kind of gone, I will recreate pro wrestling in the image I believe it should be in, which is me not really doing it. I will turn up, I will do the entrance, and I will get in the ring. When I get in the ring, I'm going to have the match and the moves be completely different from anything you've ever seen before. I'm going to do it in my own time.
Yeah.
And do you know what's going to be really strange? It's going to work phenomenally well.
I am going to freeze a big vat of blancmange and then I'm going to throw it into an industrial fan and just watch it, just shards of it fly around.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt people.
It's just, I think you'd sort of say, do me a favour, just go out there and just wrestle like we normally do. And he'd go, no. He said, I'm going to do punches, knees, and my finishing move and nothing else. And you go, I don't think that's enough. And you go, no, it will be enough if I do it once and then I leave it for a minute and do nothing.
Yeah.
And then I'll do another one and then I'll leave it for a minute and do nothing. And you're going, oh, please don't do this. Please don't do this. And Brock Lesnar is right.
Yeah.
The bit he does when they're talking and you've got Roman Reigns just going, I know he can be beaten. I know I can beat him. No one believes in me. And it just cuts to Brock Lesnar sitting there going, do I respect that? No. Because I respect no one. And I absolutely love it. He's the closest to being the person who comes out to do the sell, which is just going, you're a fucking cunt. He
yes.
is just by going, do I respect that? No.
No.
Don't respect anything.
I'm going to win, though, aren't I? It just says.
Oh, he's more than welcome. I'm going to smash him up. Absolutely brilliant. Now, the video makes it very clear in various points that people have turned on Roman Reigns.
Right, yeah.
And that is slightly going to become part of his story.
Mm.
They've got the spin that WWE are putting on it is they're going, people are turning on Roman Reigns because they just don't think he can beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
They're not. They're turning on Roman Reigns.
Shoved down your throat.
Because Roman Reigns is effectively the school fucking captain of WWE.
Yeah.
He has been picked by the head teacher to be head boy, and he expects everyone to go, you're just as cool and popular as you were before.
Yeah.
You're not, you are a corporate stooge, and everyone will reject you. Reigns won the Royal Rumble in January, and it was amazing to watch how unpopular that decision was.
Mm.
At the start of the year, everyone wanted to see him become the main event star. Everyone wanted to see him do that.
Mm.
By the time you got to the Royal Rumble, people were sick and tired of him. They didn't want him in there and they hated him.
Yeah.
He was pushed much too hard and fast too quickly. There was too obviously the hand of WWE was behind him. And in the way that it wasn't with Bryan and the fans won, you know, the machinery to grind to a halt to get Bryan to you know, become celebrated.
Mm.
What they could see there was they could just see WWE saying, this is the guy you're having. We've moved on from Bryan. You're having this one now. And he is the one we want. And it was rejected. In the Royal Rumble, he's down to the last three with Big Show and Kane. regardless of the fact that those aren't the two people you want to be pushing out to make yourself seem like a fucking huge star, because they have been pushed out the Royal Rumble more than anyone else in history. They, Show and Kane are at one point grappling by the ropes when Roman Reigns is down, and it looks like they're both going to go out, and the crowd start booing, going, no, don't let them go out. When you're not, like, when you're booing for Kane and Big Show because you're worried they might fall out and Roman Reigns will win, something has gone madly wrong. When he does win, the crowd just boo. They start chanting bullshit. At one great bit, they start chanting, "We want Devon," because in the Royal Rumble, Roman Reigns comes in the 20s.
Mm.
At number three, Bubba Ray Dudley had made a one-off appearance to come back. He'd been eliminated very quickly, and the fans were still chanting, "We want Devon," by the time Roman Reigns has won it. They are so unhappy every time he fights back against Kane and the Big Show.
Right.
Against Kane and the fucking Big Show. You're going, please, one of them win. So bad. It's,
put these youngsters over.
It's unbelievable. And when he wins, the noise of the crowd is complete rejection
right.
of Roman Reigns as the anointed one. The WWE had thought that there's one way we can get out of this, and that is we have The Rock come down to basically hold up Roman Reigns. If The Rock likes Roman, the crowd will learn to love Roman as much as we do. And he holds Roman Reigns' hand up, and Rock looks around like, what is happening? What I've lifted up someone's arm. I'm The Rock. And the noise is not cheering. Yeah. The noise is still the booing. And you can see his eyes flicker where he's going, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this?
I'm holy dog shit.
I am so sorry, mate. I would love to help you out, but I have such an important brand.
This is,
you
know, toxic.
If it wasn't for the brand, mate, I'd be
love
here.
To help you out, mate.
There's so many people it employs. I've just got to go. And it's a fucking disaster. Now, they push ahead. They go, we can see through. We can push this through. When he comes out at WrestleMania, fucking hell, does he get booed? I mean, it's beyond Cena this year level of booing. And it's just because they have that thing of going, you are the corporate stooge. We've seen loads of bits where Rocky was the corporate champion, but that was played as an angle. We can see behind the scenes now, you are being pushed down our throats.
Mm.
WWE are going ahead with it, except for one thing that we find out when the match is over. They've panicked. They've panicked about WrestleMania ending with all the boos. So they've come up with a plan B.
Oh, no.
It's proper good.
Wow.
All the commentators throughout the whole thing assume that we want Brock to beat... Brock to lose to Roman Reigns. Mm. Every time they're just talking about, you know, how great Roman Reigns is, it emphasizes that thing that it's a corporate choice and that this is the corporate message and he is the corporate vessel. All of it is so ham-fistedly badly done. Lesnar comes out and the crowd roar with excitement. And Lesnar, God bless him, he actually looks fucking satisfied. It's almost like he's sort of like, you can do whatever you want, but I can't stop just being the best. Mm. I love it. Out he comes, and it gives him a level of confidence that if I was Roman Reigns, I would be deeply unsettled by. Out they come, they lock up, and he just barrels into Roman Reigns. And what there is here, again, you just see Lesnar is having fun. And what Lesnar wants to do is he wants to say to Reigns, yes, you know, they're behind you and everything. Yes, we're in the main event of WrestleMania. Yes, you deserve to be here. But if it came down to it, I can kill you. And he just barrels through him, and you can see that Roman Reigns is slightly punching for his life. He cuts Lesnar.
I thought, oh, he's bladed there, and then I was like, oh, well, he doesn't blade there, and I couldn't find the blade, and then I thought, oh, well, maybe Roman does it, and then it was like, no, he actually does cut him on the corner of the ring.
That's in the turnbuckle bit. In the first bit, he accidentally does a thing right at the start where when he's punching him, when Lesnar is just like ragdolling him.
Right, yeah.
It's so fucking alpha. So alpha. You just sort of go, look at this Roman Reigns. Isn't he wonderful? He's knocking him about. Oh, it's horrible. And Roman Reigns is obviously panicking a bit. And he catches Lesnar clearly under the eye.
Right.
And Lesnar does a whole bit where he F5s Roman Reigns. Mm. And everyone's like, is it going to be over? That'd be fucking thrilling. And Lesnar just suddenly notices the blood. And he sees the blood. And there is a part of me where if I was Roman Reigns, I'd just go, yeah, that was a mistake.
That's a terrible mistake.
I do not trust that Brock Lesnar... is acting now. I think this could be a very, very serious scenario indeed.
He was already very stiff.
And now he's going to be angry. And he might be acting, but I cannot take that risk. I cannot take that risk. So, I mean, it's a funny thing for me because wrestling in that opening minute, it's never looked more real and it's never seemed more fake.
Mm.
Because what you have is you have Lesnar coming out doing his UFC and his NCAA level, you know, collegiate wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, and which is just... incredible to watch.
Mm.
And you've also got Roman Reigns being dominated that badly, and you know that the match has to continue and he's going to get some offence in. And it makes it seem fake because Lesnar is so legitimately frightening in that first bit.
Yeah.
You sort of go, for you to even sort of go, and then I'll beat him for a bit, it just seems absurd. Just absurd. He does that thing, if he does a clothesline at one point that's so devastating, everyone is just a clothesline or a knee, small moves. And the crowd react to them like they've just seen the biggest move you've ever seen in your life because he does them with such force. And, oh, it's exciting. But, yeah, he gets run into the turnbuckle with the blood. Bang.
Mm.
I did the same thing, had a look back. It's not blade. Mm. That would have been the first time for a long time that we've seen proper blood. In WrestleMania. Mm. I think there was probably... it certainly looked it was hard way.
Mm.
I think Brock did start to get a reputation. He had a match with Undertaker and things like that, Hell in a Cell, where he would continually get juice. And he would always sort of go, oh, it was a mistake. But it kept happening. And
how does he do that then? Just do a thin cut? I don't know.
I think he's willing to just hurt himself. I think he might well be. But he does that on the ring post and he bangs into it and that blood starts dripping out. What's interesting is because it's WrestleMania, they aren't going to go, okay, let's stop this to just patch it over and start again, which they had started doing in a lot of big cards,
right,
which is really frustrating.
Mm.
But this one, it's just, it adds to the thing. There would have been a thing I think they thought, well, that will look like Roman is hard, even though, you know, it's Brock has done it to himself. It will make it look like a proper fight, and that will help Roman. It is just, when Roman Reigns starts doing Superman punches on the bleeding Lesnar, people are beginning to go, shit, because Lesnar's bleeding, this is almost like we are beginning to build up to Reigns beating him, and that will be, if you like, the excuse that he got a bad head injury.
Mm.
And, you know, the worst thing you could have done in this situation is go, Lesnar's bleeding, so we're going to award it to Roman Reigns. I mean, you'd have had a fucking riot. But... They when Roman Reigns starts that big comeback, the crowd begin getting dismayed.
Mm.
And he does his spear. Lesnar is wobbling around like a King Kong. He's not going down, and that gives Roman Reigns the chance to do more spears.
Yeah.
And so the audience are watching it going, shit. By standing up, they're building to the fact he's taken three, and then that obviously leads to him getting the pin.
Yeah.
And when Lesnar, after that, kicks out, the fucking the crowd are as ecstatic for that as anything I've seen in the entire show. They are absolutely lunatic. And then Seth Rollins' music hits.
Mm.
He's going to be cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase. What a cheer when that is announced. People are like, thank fuck that Lesnar isn't going to lose. Really love it. And out comes Rollins. He gives his briefcase to the ring side crew.
He's kept it very badly.
He has. It's quite dented.
Absolute dented, yeah.
Well, we've got to use this next year, you stupid idiot. They deliver a result that was just much better than any of the results they could have got out of that main event without him. It basically made Rollins a main event star by winning on the biggest stage of them all. And it wriggled out of that booking where they didn't want Lesnar to lose, they didn't want Reigns to lose.
Right.
What's really interesting about this whole thing is that Seth Rollins was not told, and neither was Roman Reigns, that he was going to be winning that belt until not just the day of WrestleMania, but during the Rock and Ronda Rousey segment.
Holy moly.
They had it on the table for a while. So Brock Lesnar, he had a one-year contract, which he'd often re-sign after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And he'd been told prior to re-signing a contract for the following year that they did have the idea Seth Rollins might win at WrestleMania because I think they were worried about a really negative reaction.
Mm.
Seth Rollins was... obviously very, very grateful. There's a point as he delivers his curb stomp to Roman Reigns, who he pins to win the belt. He just bends his head down. And that was him just shooting the words, thank you, to Roman before he did it.
Cool.
Some people were not happy about this. All of Roman Reigns' family, the Samoan wrestling dynasty, had turned up to WrestleMania. Rikishi was in the Hall of Fame. That was part of it. But they were primarily there to see Roman Reigns win the belt. Obviously, because it was changed during WrestleMania itself, Roman Reigns couldn't say to them, oh, yeah, it's changed. So they watched the match, and when it happened, they went fucking lunatic. Especially, according to a lot of reports at the time, Roman Reigns' father, who was the Wild Samoan Seeker.
Right.
He was said to be furious to the point where there was nearly a bad scene. The Wrestling Observer newsletter said, Seeker forgot this business is not real life and was legit pissed at the finish and looking to start a war. A lot of the younger family members were rallying around Seeker, but the other 45 or 50 of them talked some reason. He was said later to be furious, mad and disappointed, but not out of control. They thought it was incredibly disrespectful, but they're all there and it was going to be a wonderful day.
Yeah.
And they had a terrible time. Someone did say to me, have a look at the link where you can see, I believe, Roman Reigns' mother going berserk and trying to start essentially punching her way to the ringside. I don't know if that exists. I couldn't find it, but amazing. So Seth Rollins became, with that, he had a number of sort of little achievements unlocked. He got the first superstar to cash his Money in the Bank contract in at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Which, if any of them had any sense, that's what you should do. As soon as you win it, you say, yeah, I'm having the main event at WrestleMania. Thank you very much. He was the first to cash in his Money in the Bank contract during an active match, turning it into a triple threat. Normally they do it after a match.
Right.
Or they'd have one like Rob Van Dam and John Cena, you know, with prepared in advance. Mm. And he was also the first person to pin the non-champion to win the title as a result of his cashing in the bank. Three little bits of history. He also became the very, very first WWE World Heavyweight Champion who was born after WrestleMania 1 had taken place.
Cool.
He was also, nice, in fact, not even here until after WrestleMania 2. So he did a double whammy there.
Mm.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that main event. It divides people. People don't like it.
Why? Because it was just kind of like a get out.
Lesnar is being uncooperative. Reigns looks defeated and sad. And it has, if you like, a gimmick ending that doesn't relate to the rest of the match. But I really enjoyed it. I think
they've not seen like loads of main events in a row like we have.
No, that is true. That is true. I mean, you know, main events, a lot of WrestleMania main events are not the best match on the card.
Yeah.
And I think you could probably say, with the exception of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which I really enjoyed, that the main event in this could be the best match on the card.
Yeah.
And I certainly enjoyed it.
Mm, well, it was very good.
What a greedy load of greedy maniacs are out there, eh? Having a nice long episode.
Nice long soak in the WrestleManiac pool.
Yeah. That might actually be the first main event we've actually talked about for longer than 5 minutes.
We tend to get to the end ones and we're like, oh, we don't really have much to say about it, it's boring. Yeah, I guess so.
We also find it difficult to keep watching. once you get past all the funny people, then it's like, oh, here comes
dry,
Triple H.
Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar looks like, probably spoke about this before, but you know, like in Ninja Turtles, a Krang
lives inside a
muscle man.
Yeah.
It's like Krang's taken over the rest of the muscle man and he's all blamonge and pink.
There was a close-up of this on him. There's it's worth seeing. Type in Brock Lesnar's teeth into Google Images. Someone took a photo of him where it looked like he had just like holes in all the back of his teeth, like they were all hollow.
Have they been taken out?
Really weird.
Well, he's got a very weird physicality. If they had to remove a few teeth because of problems,
they should remove, I reckon, about a yard and a half of bone from his head. He is just a simply unique wrestler, and he's a unique human being.
Yeah,
and you know, I think even when you watch like UFC and you watch the best fighters in the world, you look at all of them and you go, outside of that, I'm sure they are really nice guys, and you could probably go for a drink with them. I always think with Brock Lesnar, I just sort of think there'd be a moment if you went out for a meal with him, you'd look up and he'd just be staring at you furiously, and you'd sort of go, "Is there?" And then that would be it. There'd just be a red or black. One of the two.
Mm.
And either way.
Inside your eyelids, you'd see.
Yeah. You just find it inexplicable. I don't even know what happened. I didn't see what happened. And they'd say it was on CCTV, but it all moved so quickly that even the CCTV camera didn't pick it up. There was just a massive, great pink blur, like a massive ham had leapt over a table and gone for your face. I find him really frightening. I'm sure he's lovely. Mm. Apparently, he doesn't like people very much.
Does he not? No. I think he sleeps in a vat. Like, even submerged in some jelly.
I could imagine him also running with a pack of heavy bulls. That you just sort of like, you'd be driving by and you sort of go, is there a man running with all those bulls? And it would be just Lesnar pounding through the prairie. Absolutely chilling. Nightmarish man. I would like to when he bled, though, because I thought, well, if he can bleed, he can die. That would have been good to have Schwarzenegger just say that over the top. I mean, just come on, people. Think.
Sort it out, guys. Come on.
This is my judgment time.
Not an unenjoyable experience. That one, very fun, and plenty to chew over, so to speak. Nice. We've all learnt a little something about ourselves and publishers who will throw money at anyone, including Leaping Lanny Poffo.
I mean, if this company are still going, the Wrestle Me Book of Poems, it won't be the worst thing you've ever published.
No, exactly. You're completely right on that one.
No, respect is due. Look, we are going to be back next time with WrestleMania 32. But in the meantime, if you would like more Wrestle Me, and there is fucking loads of it on the Patreon, then go to patreon.com/WrestleMe. It is, let me tell you, an absolute fucking dream. I've got no patter. My voice is going. I lost my voice about 4 days ago.
Oh no!
And I was just tired, and I've been up a lot with the baby, and it's boring. And I was like, fucking hell. I've actually got to a point now where I have to go, I'm just going to look after my voice a bit because I'm going to be doing I tend to tell people a podcast. Don't go into it. Like, detail. Is it about art? Sort of art. Yeah,
it's poetry.
Did you say squared circle? Squared circle. Yeah. Hoping you don't know that means wrestling. But I was really like, that's good. And I can hear it in my voice now. So apologies if you find that repulsive. And good congratulations night. If you really like it.
Patreon.com/WrestleMe. We'll be back next time.
Yeah, respect is due.
Check it out.
Until then, look, Pete. Wrestle me, Pete.
Wrestle me, Mark. Shall we get a beer?
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Annette Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.